hearts and given to our Father. Now let's hear what he has to say through his word. Pastor Michelle's coming, going to break the word to us. Open your hearts and receive.
Brother John, I just so appreciate your willingness, your readiness. You were there. You were ready. You said, I have got this. And I just want you to know that you are my object lesson for tonight, okay? Everybody remember that. Does anybody not know what I'm talking about right now? Anybody not know? You don't know what I'm talking about? When Brother Brian is here, he generally comes up and, you know, he'll call Brother Steve up to do the offering. And then after the offering is taken, Brother Brian will come back up and pray over it. And Brother Brian was not here tonight. And it was like, you know, we're moving along and singing the song and the offering bucket comes up. And it's like, oh, who's going to pray over the offering? And I think probably Pastor Richard said something to Brother Damon. But John wasn't sure. Brother John wasn't sure about that. So he was like, I will cover that offering. And he was halfway up there and then kind of saw that that Brother Damon was going to cover it. And I love that. And, you know, maybe next time we'll have a race to the microphone to see who can get there first. But that is my object lesson for tonight. And I love that. Being ready, not waiting to be called on and sitting there. Well, if they want me, they're going to have to let me know. Ready, willing, running. I am there. I am there to cover. Before I jump into the message, I just want to say thank you to all of you who gave generously to Mission Botswana last Sunday morning. It is ongoing. We checked a couple of things off the list that we needed some finances for, and I am so grateful and so thankful. And there's still more to come. We are getting figures for getting the equipment that we have over there. We've purchased some equipment here because it's just much less expensive here, and it's for the church and for the youth ministries back over in Botswana. And we had some expenses with changing his ticket. We have some things coming up with getting his office ready. And how many of you would prefer that Pastor Kempo would not move into his new house and have to sleep on the floor and, you know, eat sandwiches because he has these guys up here, Kempo, they got your back. Right behind you, they're like, we do not want that to happen. We do not want that to happen for our brother. So we are putting some finances together so that when he gets over there, he's going to be able to get the necessary things in the house that God has provided. So I appreciate so much your heart. And the more you catch the vision, I know the more that you're going to want to give and be a blessing, because it's not just something in Brother Kempo's house. It's something that puts him in a place where he can be refreshed, where he can spend time with the Lord, where he can have what he needs so that when he goes out, he's full and he's ready to give out to those around him. And trust me, they're already thronging. When are you coming back? What's going to happen? What can we do? When are we going to get together? Brother, are you going to teach us the word? They're already asking. They're already pulling on him for those things. So as you're investing in whatever phase of the ministry it is, you have a part in every soul that he brings into the kingdom, in every life that he touches, every person that is healed, that is delivered, that is blessed. You have a part in that. When the word says, lay up treasures for yourself in heaven, that's one of the ways that you do that. You invest in the ministry, and that lays up for you treasures in heaven. Now, there's harvest here on earth, too, but there are blessings that we're laying up in heaven as we are giving and investing in what God is doing around the world. So I want to say thank you, and I want to ask you to continue to listen to the Lord and see what he would have you to do. And just be obedient. That's all I'm asking, is be obedient to the Lord, and he's putting it all together. Amen? Amen. Well, we had an awesome time in prayer last night, as we usually do, because any time that we spend with God is good. Amen? How many of you have noticed that it's always different? You know, sometimes he's encouraging, sometimes he's instructing, sometimes he's correcting, sometimes he's just refreshing. And it's always good to just go in and say, what's in your heart, Father? What's in your heart today? And so as we were praying last night, the Lord spoke a couple of things to me. And that's what I'm going to talk about tonight. And we'll just see where it goes and what all God wants to say about it. So I'm just going to share some thoughts from my heart of what God is putting together here in the house. And if I could give this a title, I would call it Understanding the Times. Understanding the times that we're living in. It's important to know what time it is. You know, what time of day is it? Am I supposed to be waking up? Am I supposed to be winding down? Am I supposed to be eating? What am I supposed to be doing right now? And it depends on the time of day, right? And so we're looking at a season right now that we're coming into with very specific purpose. God has a timeline that he wants to accomplish. And he is looking for those who are going to say, okay, God, what's happening now? What are you doing? And how can I cooperate with it? See, that's a problem with a lot of people's prayer time. It's a list of what they want, what they need, what they think should happen, how they feel like things ought to be done. And they find scriptures to fit that. And they go through their list of those things. And God is faithful, and he said he would answer if we ask according to his will, according to his word. But there's a higher level to live on. And that higher level is when we go into God's presence and we say, God, what do you want? What do you want to do? What do you want for me? Because that's seeking first his kingdom. And when we seek first his kingdom, then all that stuff that people make lists of, that they feel like they need from God, God said, I will add it to you. And so it's a higher place of living also because you come into a place where you are fulfilling your purpose, your destiny. You're doing what God put in you. You're doing what makes your heart sing and enjoying it. And at the same time, God is using that to change people's lives. How beautiful is that, to just wake up and do what you love to do and be a blessing? Well, that's our covenant. God said we're blessed to be a blessing. So when we find out his heart, his will, and his purpose, then we can walk in harmony with that and see all of these other things happen. So he's taking us into a place of maturity. Very much like in the house when you have 3 and 4 years old, 4-year-olds, they wake up with a mindset of what's for me today? What's in it for me? What are we going to do? I remember Jared used to always ask me, he's 4 years old, what are we doing today? I would give him a list. Well, is it going to be fun? Well, when are we going to have fun? Well, if we go there, is that going to be fun? Because it was all about him having fun. But as they grow older, if they're well taught, they begin to mature, and one day, that child walks out and says, Mommy, what can I do for you today? And oh, your heart just melts. You're just, oh my goodness, you're just a wonderful angel. I'll give you anything you want after you wash the dishes. So that's maturity, becoming useful in the house, what God wants us to do. So it is important. In understanding the times, it's important that we all know our assignments and be about them. Now, our assignments, some things will always be the same. We will always be called to spend time with the Father. We will always be called to gather together with fellow believers, to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, to study his word. That doesn't like come and go. That's always, that's a necessity, just like eating every day is necessary. But there are some things that are maybe seasonal or cyclical that God will have us doing. Assignments, different things in the body. What are those things? We need to know. Now let me give you a hint. If you want to know, what is my assignment right now, God? Ask him. Because he would love to let you know what he has in store for you. The problem is sometimes we don't ask, and after we ask, we don't listen. You know, we call it prayer time, and sometimes that prayer time is us talking, us speaking, praying in the Spirit, decreeing His Word, praising and worshiping God. But then there are those times and those moments where you just sit and listen. You're just quiet. You're giving Him time and space, and many times He'll begin to speak to you there, and many times He won't. He just wants to see how long you'll listen. And when we give Him what we have, then He's faithful to come back. And I've said this so many times, quite often, those answers come while our mind is not on that subject. We're not trying to drive it. Maybe you're mowing the grass or washing the dishes, and all of a sudden it just rises up in you. That's what I need to do. But you got the answer because you asked. And you made a place for it. So finding out what our assignments are in the earth, what is our assignment in the body? We all have assignments, places we're supposed to be. I am so thankful that Sister Lou follows through with her assignment to be an alto on the praise team. And I might say that we could use some more altos on the praise team. I'm looking at somebody in particular, but you know. Just that's the thing about it. I don't get to pick the assignments. God does that. I would nominate and pull out a few people to do this, that, and the other. But it's better if you hear it from God. And Sister Lou has threatened to try and walk out on us a few times. She said, I'm tired of this or whatever. And I said, whatever. And and then I said, no, sorry. God hasn't released you from that yet. People being in their place doing what they're supposed to do is necessary in this time and in this season, because we don't know what's coming up next. We can't see it all. And God needs us being faithful so that we're ready, just like Brother John, just in case somebody else whose assignment it was gets pulled off on another assignment, it's covered. Because we're all paying attention, we're all listening. Amen? I'll give you an example. It's going to be a little bit humorous, but I think you'll get the point. For a healthy body, okay, there's no confusion with your feet, your hands, on how to accomplish a task. If you feel that you need to go somewhere, you think, I'm going to go to that table, and your feet automatically work together to get you there. If you're standing somewhere and you see a toddler and they're about to pull off a whole bucket of water on themselves, they don't know what it is, and you are going to rush to the rescue, your foot does not say, I'm not feeling it. I'm just going to sleep in today. You go ahead. Go ahead. Yeah, y'all go ahead. Do what you're supposed to do. I'll catch up later. How would that look? It would look like a comedy scene from a movie or something. It would look pretty crazy. It automatically works together. You know, another thing, your foot could say, that foot kicked me yesterday. I'm offended. I'm not doing anything with that foot again. You're going to have to put me somewhere else. It doesn't work that way. You don't even get to ask your foot, are you still with me? No. Do we need some counseling? No, put a Band-Aid on it and move on. Get on with it. Get over it. It's not even a discussion. It sounds ridiculous to even talk about it. And yet, the body of Christ. How often do we see that happen? Now, how is it that when I think I want to walk towards Sister Lou, my feet cooperate with that process? Because I practiced when I was little, when it didn't come natural, and Mom and Dad would stand me up and I would fall, and stand me up and I would fall, and stand me up and I would take one little step, and everybody would cheer, and then I would fall again. It's the practicing that lets us do that. So we have to keep showing up for these things and learning how to do these things, learning how to do it hurt, learning how to do it offended, to let God take care of us. We have to know where we're supposed to be and cooperate with the process. Now, who are we listening to? Are y'all listening to us? Are y'all listening to Pastor Richard? Everybody has to do what Pastor Richard says. He's in authority. It works better when we work with him. But who's the head of the church? Christ. We have to be hooked up to him and listening. I know this sounds so basic. And yet, think of it as a chiropractic adjustment. Because sometimes there's nerve impingement and something gets in the way and that signal's not going where it's supposed to. And there's pain and discomfort. And we need to pop that thing back into place and say, look, you need to get back in line so that we can get back in the flow with the head. So that the impulses, the directions that come from the head flow through. Another thing that the Lord said is that we cannot allow the busyness of this season to keep us from understanding the importance of the times in the kingdom of God. There's a lot going on right now. It's holiday season in America. It's craziness. I don't know if you've tried, but you can't hardly get down any roads after dark because everybody gets off work and goes Christmas shopping, I guess. I'm not sure why else they're all out there. But everybody in Austin is right up here at Howard and I-35. You sit through that light about 10 times and you'll believe it. It's a busy time. It's a crazy time. And it's important for us to remember that the first assignment before us is still the kingdom of God. That is the most important thing. And we have to choose to guard our schedules and guard ourselves that we don't allow ourselves to be overwhelmed by the things that are going on around us. So understanding the season and knowing our assignments, where are we supposed to be? Understanding the times. And 1 Chronicles is very interesting. Chapter 12, starting in verse 23, says, now these were the numbers of the divisions that were equipped for war. All of these people were coming to David, to King David, to assist him in taking the rule, to turn the kingdom over to him from Saul. And there were quite a few different divisions that were equipped for war, and they came to David at Hebron to turn over the kingdom of Saul to David according to the word of the Lord. And of the sons of Issachar, it's very interesting. They would talk about these were skilled with the spear and these were skilled with the sword and these were skilled horsemen and this and this. And it says the sons of Issachar who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. Their chiefs were 200 and then all of their brethren were at their command. The sons of Issachar, we can learn from that. Do we know, do we understand the times and the seasons? That, if you had to put that in a word, you would call it wisdom. Knowledge is information. Wisdom is how to use that information. Now, God says, if we need wisdom, what do? Just ask. And he gives it liberally. Now, there's the wisdom of the world that says this is the best way to do it, but we want the wisdom from above. And it says that these men walked in that. It is my desire to be as the sons of Issachar, to understand the times and to know what we need to do with it. In Ephesians chapter 5, we're talking about knowing our assignments and being in our place. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15, and this is from the Amplified Classic. It says, therefore, see that you walk, that you live carefully, living life with honor, purpose, and courage, shunning or staying away from those who tolerate and enable evil. Now, I gotta tell you, a lot of people's lives would be a whole lot different if they would just do that much right there. Stay away from those who tolerate or enable evil. there might be a few friends that are getting in the way. And we have to make the decision to stay away from that. And he says, live not as the unwise, but as wise, sensible, intelligent, discerning people. Discernment is one of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. It's available to everyone, but not everyone walks in it. Because you have to learn how to cultivate that. Remember the scripture that says, having their senses sharpened by reason of use, that they could discern? By reason of use, that they could discern? So what does that look like? How do I practice that? Somebody says, I want to go to lunch with you next week and take you shopping. Give me a minute. As enticing as that is, God, is that what you have for me that day? And you listen and you see if there's a check in your spirit. When somebody says, I want you to teach my, I don't know, Sunday school class, my home prayer group, my break time prayer study. I want you to teach. Well, God always wants us to teach, right? He's always going to want us to just jump in there. Well, how about we just practice by reason of use, exercise the ability to say, God, is that what you want me to do that day? And listen. And I can tell you, sometimes you're going to get it right, and sometimes you're going to miss it. And that's how we learn. But if we're afraid of missing it, then we'll never learn. If you're afraid that you're not going to hit every single pitch, then you need to stop trying to play baseball, right? You're going to miss some. It happens. In fact, the more successful you are with home runs, probably the more strikeouts you have. That's how that works. It's called taking a risk. But we need to start stepping out and listening to God, putting Him first. God, what are you saying? What are you saying? Any little impulse that you get from Him, write it down, make a note. And then if it falls apart, go back to that note and say, we need to rethink this. But it's a process. By reason of use, we learn, not by reason of getting it right every time. But we have to start somewhere. So discerning people, being discerning people, making the very most of your time on earth. Making the very most of your time on earth, recognizing and taking advantage of each opportunity, using it with wisdom and diligence. There is so much there. Every opportunity is not necessarily an opportunity to do. It's an opportunity to listen. But then with diligence, if you commit to something, diligence means to begin at the beginning and follow through all the way to the end. Diligence. I said that I would be a part of this team on KLTTC. Until such time as God redirects and I have the opportunity to state my intentions, I need to continue doing what I said I would do. So wisdom and diligence there, because the days are filled with evil. This is where he talks about redeeming the time, the King James says, redeeming the time, making the most of the time, understanding that the enemy is trying to use this time to bring stuff down. We're redeeming the time by using the time wisely, according to God's will. So he says, therefore, don't be foolish and thoughtless, but understand and firmly grasp what the will of the Lord is. So could we say that if you don't know what the will of the Lord is, you're foolish and thoughtless? Because that's what he says. You're either this or you're that. So understanding what the will of the Lord is. God has been very clear to us in this house what His will is for us to steward. Raising up mothers and fathers, our young people becoming sons and daughters, spiritual sons and daughters, stewarding the river, stewarding Mission Botswana, stewarding the fivefold ministry, things He's raising up in this house. That is the will of the Lord. Understanding what the will of the Lord is and firmly grasping that. So in order to do these things, we need to come into a unity, I would call it, in ourselves. Did you know that you could be not in unity with yourself? Remember, James said a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, because part of you wants to do this, and then part of you, oh, I want to do that. You know, Paul says, I want to do what's good, but doing what's evil is present within me. There's a tug of war in there, and you are the one that has to bring your house into unity. That is up to you. We can be born again and God can heal our body. But if our mind embraces the same anxieties and the ways of thinking that we've always had, we can open the door for sickness to come right back in. See, there's three parts. You are a spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body. And when you are reborn, your spirit is one with God. Your spirit is fabulous. If, God forbid, you got hit by a truck when you walked out the door, you would still look like you, and your spirit would be going, I guess we're moving out today. You are spirit. Your body never gets fully saved, okay? So you've got your spirit that's one with God, and your body wants what it wants. I want chocolate. I want more sleep. I want to feel good. I want what I want, okay? So who is the tiebreaker? Your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions. And it becomes necessary to get that thing into alignment with the Word of God so that you've got two here that can overrule number three over here. So coming into unity with ourselves, disunity in your body is what causes malfunction. That's what slows you down. If your spirit is one with God through the rebirth process, through salvation, and your heart meditates on His Word and His God's heart, and you're obedient to His Word and taking care of your temple, then you are in unity. You are one. It's known also as integrity, where every part functions for the good of the whole. It's also called holiness. What I say is what's in my heart. And that's what I do. So coming together as one in those things is necessary. You know, James chapter 3, he has a lot to say there about the human tongue. In verse 8, it says, the human tongue can be tamed by no man. Now, did he say that the tongue cannot be tamed? It cannot be tamed by man, simply by deciding you're going to try to do the right thing. It cannot be tamed by man. It's restless, it's undisciplined, and full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and then we curse men who were made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come forth blessing and cursing. He says, these things, my brethren, ought not to be. That should not be the case. Matthew 15:8 says, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. Their heart is far from me. So they're saying something, but what they're doing is something totally different. They're not in unity. There's not a unity there. So we say we love God, but then we come against what He's doing. We ask God to use us, and then we get frustrated when somebody has a need and they ask for help. So if you look in Luke chapter 6, he talks about a tree is not, you can't have a good tree and produces bad fruit, or a bad tree that produces good fruit. The good man produces what is good and honorable out of the treasure of his heart. Because your mouth speaks from the overflow of your heart. So if you want to change your tongue and what you say, do you start by try to change your words? If you change your heart, renew your mind, will, and emotions there, your heart that is talking about, then that will change what comes out of your mouth. Romans 12 says, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed, be changed by the renewing of your mind, your soul. So when you meditate the Word of God, when you think on Him, when you spend time with Him, when you look into the Word, your heart is changed, and that changes what comes out of your mouth so that you become one with the purpose for which you were born again. Now, y'all stay with me. I know this sounds really basic. I know this sounds like kindergarten for some people, but I'm going somewhere with this. So stay with me. In that we need to change by looking at our Redeemer, by seeing Him, we are changed into His image. We become in unity with ourselves. There's not part of me working against the other part of me, right? So I was meditating on that, and I was thanking God. Actually, last night I wasn't thinking about that. I was just thanking God for His promises of blessings on this house. On House of the Lord Fellowship Church, Father, You prosper us. You said You would bless us. And He immediately quickened me to 3 John 2. Y'all know what that says? Beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. Okay? So prosperity comes when there is unity within you. But God took it a step further. He said, when the soul of House of the Lord Fellowship Church comes together as one and prospers, then you will see the abundance flow. See, we are a body just like you are a body. And just like you have to come into that unity so that what comes out of your mouth is the heart of God, so that what you do comes from the heart of God, so that if somebody accidentally bumps you, what splashes out of you is not, what is your problem? It's love, understanding, patience, wisdom. Not because we're so fabulous, but because we're so full of God that that's what comes out. As a body, as a collective body, that is necessary. See, He's calling us to a higher level, and it requires unity. The unity of the body, that we would all have the same mind. See, you got to come into unity with the Word of God, and then we come into unity together. Because I can't come in here thinking we're just going to build a huge empire and be the best praise and worship church there is. And Damon's thinking, well, I want to come in here and we're going to do my music and I want to do this. And we're all thinking about worshiping God with music, but He wants to do it His way and I want to do it my way. There's no prospering in that. There's no prospering. And so how do we bring our mind into unity with our spirit? We meditate on the Word of God. We listen to the head. How does the body come into that unity of purpose? We listen to the head of the church. Remember, we've talked about seeing Him, looking at Him so that we hear, we see what He's doing. We're able to follow. It's necessary for all of us, for the body, to come into that unity of oneness with the head. So that when the head says, I want you to go over here, the foot's not going, I'm just not feeling it today. We laughed about it when we talked about this body. But when we're talking about the body of Christ, it happens. And I'm just going to step out just very, very carefully on this and say, when God said, Mission Botswana, and some people said, I don't care anything about it. I'm worried about Austin. I got neighbors that hadn't heard the gospel yet. Why you want to go to Botswana? And God's saying, why don't you go to your neighbors? See, there's a reason that the head does things the way that it does. And the head doesn't always have to explain. If you've got, you know, a 4-year-old and you're like, I said, get in the car. But why? Oh, no, honey. You don't get to ask why. I'll tell you why later if I feel like it. Right now, I said, get in the car. I ain't even going to count. I don't believe in counting. No, 1, 2, 3. No, now. This is it. get in or get left behind. Because the authority sees the full picture. They see the whole thing. And they understand why. And if you trust the authority, then when the authority says do this, you're like, I'm in. Let's go. I know you know best. So the whole thing about understanding your assignments and understanding what you're supposed to be doing and bringing your meditation of the word up to a higher level so that you come into being one with your spirit, so that you're not subject to your body that says, I want to sleep in on Sunday morning, and you realize, but I have an assignment here, so sorry, body, you're outvoted. You have to get up. The whole reason for all of that is not just so we can be fabulous people. That's part of the results. But it's so we can come together and now produce that on a larger level so that we can change the world. Change the world. And people are sitting home wondering, well, why do they have to do it that way? I hate it when they sing that song. I don't even want to go. If they're going to sing that song, man, they always have, you know, that person on the stage, their mic is too loud. It's just a hassle. And God's going, but I want to change the world. I've got people that need to see the love of God. Can you look past some flaws in order to come in and be one in a place that's not going to be perfect? Because if I'm looking for perfection, once I join in, that chance is over. Because I'm not going to be perfect this side. And I got bad news for you. As wonderful as you are probably not going to be perfect this side. So anything that we do, there's going to be some parts rubbing each other that are going to have opportunities. But if we're listening to the head and we allow the Holy Spirit to come in, He is that oil, that anointing, and He smooths that rough spot and that place where there's friction. And when we're in the river of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, it takes care of that friction and those frustrations. And when you understand the goal and the reason and the purpose, it's to change people's lives. If I have to put up with a loud microphone, what is that compared to people's lives being changed? So we need to understand the goal. We need to understand the times. We need to understand our assignment and get in our place. And then we need to be one with the head. Because when we're one with Him, then we'll be in the right place at the right time. Most of you probably know my mom used to do a lot of marriage and family teaching. How many of you remember the triangle? Yep, it's probably in your Bible. If you were in a class with her, you drew it in the front of your Bible. There's a triangle, and there's God at the top, and then there's you over here and your spouse over here. And you may be separated by a wide chasm right there, but as you both seek God, what happens as you get closer to God, you become closer to being in unity with one another. That's the picture for the entire body of Christ. If I will not try to fix Tammy, and Tammy will not try to fix me and make me perfect, but if Tammy and I both will seek God and what He wants, to seek the head and be obedient to the head, then we're going to come together just beautifully. I don't know how God does it, but He does it. But He needs our cooperation to yield to Him. And when we do that, when we come into that perfect harmony that 1 Corinthians talks about, he says, I urge you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in perfect harmony and full agreement in what you say, and that there be no dissension or faction or divisions among you, but be perfectly united in your common understanding, in your opinions, in your judgments. That sounds impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And so when we come together like that, remember what happened at the Tower of Babel? Genesis chapter 11 and verse 6, and the Lord said, behold, they are one people, They are speaking the same thing, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. And now, this was God, now nothing they have imagined they can do will be impossible for them. Because they were one. These people were not saved. They were not serving God. They were not doing His plan. They were not working under His unction. And yet God said, whatever they can imagine, they can do because they're one. How much more the body of Christ can do because we work under the divine ability of the anointing. How much more could we accomplish if we were one? Psalm 133, you're familiar with this. Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. When there's unity, that anointing flows from the head all the way down. Nobody's left out. Nobody's working in their own strength. When we're together in unity, there is that anointing that flows. As the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there, where? Place of unity. In the place of unity, there the Lord has suggested, every once in a while, there's a possibility. The Lord has commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. In unity. In unity. So remember 3 John 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper. I want to see you prosperous. And I want to see you healthy. But understand it happens as your soul prospers. As you renew your mind. As you become one with the head, seeking Him first, then everything about the body will function with the blessing. Amen?
Praise God. Unity. Becoming one with each other and one with God. Listening for His voice. Awesome, awesome word. Father, I thank You that we have heard Your word. We've heard from Your heart tonight, Father God. I thank You for Your presence that is here, for Your anointing that has enveloped us and wrapped us in Your peace and Your joy. And Father, we just enjoy Your fellowship right now, Father God, with Your peace and with Your love. We bask in Your presence, Father. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You. Hallelujah. 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 Praise You, Father. Let's go ahead and just lift our voice for a little bit and praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We praise You, Father God. We praise You. Thank You for Your word. Thank You for Your Holy Spirit that leads us and guides us. Thank You that You are continually to show us Your heart, Your will, Your plan, and Your purpose so that we may unite ourselves with You, Father God, so that we may be united together as one in You, Father God. Bless Your name. We bless Your name. We bless Your name. Glory to Your name. Glory, Lord. Glory. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. Let's sing that chorus again. Bless the Lord, who reigns in beauty. Bless the Lord, who reigns with wisdom and with power. Bless the Lord, who reigns my life
With so much love you have made a perfect heart. Thank you, Father, that you have given us a perfect heart, that we may worship you and that we may fulfill your will, your plan, and your purpose for our lives. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But don't forget, Friday night, we're going to continue to fellowship with God and fellowship with each other. As sweet and peaceful as it is in here, you know, we can just think what it's going to be like with food. And I'm a little hungry right now. I'm sorry. But we're going to have a good time. We're going to do a couple of things that are Christmassy, and then maybe some things that are maybe not even be religious. I don't know. But we'll have fun. We're going to have a good time. So plan to be here. If you haven't signed up for finger foods or whatever kind of foods, we know where some forks are, so if you want to bring something juicy and gooey, bring it on, just as long as it's good. Hallelujah. Stand with me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, I call you blessed. I say that you are the children of the Most High God, and you are taught of Him. Great is your peace and undisturbed composure. You are surrounded by His favor, by His grace, and His mercy. They surround you on all sides and keep you safe. They keep you prosperous. They keep you in God's hands. And you are the sweet-smelling aroma of the presence of God in every place that you go, so that the world knows when you show up that God has come into their presence. Everything you put your hand to is prosperous and successful because you are infused with divine ability from the anointing of our Redeemer. And you can do all things through that anointing. And that all things are possible for you. Not only are they possible, you have good success because you follow the Word and you follow the Spirit. You're blessed to be a blessing. Go with God and enjoy the rest of the evening. And we will see you on Saturday night. Men, don't forget the prayer meeting at 6:15. A.M. Okay, well, let's just do it both nights. No, there is prayer meeting on Saturday night, Christmas party on Friday night. I'll get it right. Thank you.